This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Texas Republican Congressman Mike Conaway, who's also a member of the House Armed Services Committee. We want to get his thoughts on a couple of major issues, primarily the use of force by the U.S. and some of our allies through the United Nations against Muammar Gaddafi in Libya. Time permitting, we also want to get the congressman's thoughts on why he opposed a resolution on the House floor last week that would have accelerated the withdrawal of U.S. troops from Afghanistan, which got nearly 100 votes in support. And Congressman, thanks so much for being with us.
Greg, good to be with you, buddy. Thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
Well, there's so many different reactions to what we're seeing in Libya. Some say this is long overdue. Others say this decision was made without much consultation with Congress or even a national conversation with the American people. What did you make of how this policy came to be?
Well, it shouldn't come as any surprise, obviously. There have been conversations about a no-fly zone for a couple of weeks. Certainly the president, I think, operated within the circumstances he had, the authorities he had, with respect to the UN resolution that was passed and our allies in this deal. But beyond that, he needs to bring Congress on board with what he's doing. He needs to explain not only to Congress but the American people what is our game plan, what's the extent. Colin Powell once said, "If you broke it, you buy it." And I can't imagine anyone in your listening audience that wants us to move into Libya in any strong sort of a way with respect to the regime there, other than we all wish that Gaddafi was not the leader of Libya. The other piece that, in talking about a no-fly zone, I didn't think tanks flew, but apparently the UN resolution allowed U.S. to intervene on things that are happening actually on the ground. And before we go much further down that path of U.S. involvement, then the president's going to have to come to Congress and the United States and the U.S. people and explain to him what he's doing, why, and where this thing goes from here.
There's been a lot of concern, sir, as I'm sure you're well aware, that our mission is not well-defined. What's your sense on how well you think this has been explained and what questions still need to be answered?
Well, I don't think it's been explained. I mean, the conversation was about a no-fly zone. I think that's pretty straightforward. Everybody thought that we would prevent Gaddafi's airplanes and helicopters from getting off the ground and using them as advantage against the rebels. The fact that we've attacked on the ground now means that the mission went beyond what I thought it was necessarily going to be. And I think there's an awful lot of folks in this country who feel the same way. Conversations yesterday at church, I had everyone coming up to me saying, we don't need to be there. We don't, why are we doing this? What's going on? What's the end game? So a great deal of concern among good Americans in District 11 who see this current move as not being fully explained and not being properly defined, so that everyone knows where we're going.
What do you believe is the ultimate objective here, A, as it's been defined, and B, what would, do you think, consider a successful conclusion to this? Does Gaddafi need to be out of power for this to be a successful operation?
Well, I hate to use those terms. I think clearly the world would be better off with Gaddafi not in power. I think you can say that about any despot who runs a country the way he's run Libya the last 41 years. So I think, just as a blanket statement, the circumstances would be better in Libya if that were the case. As to where we go, I think it's hard not to argue that getting Gaddafi out of there would be the best solution, and have the Libyan people be able to decide for themselves who's going to run their country, decide for themselves what their human rights stance is going to be with respect to themselves and their fellow countrymen. So. But right now, if the job is limited to keeping Gaddafi's Air Force on the ground, then that in and of itself is success. And beyond that, I think the president's going to have to articulate what that should be.
What should be the U.S. role in this coalition? Some say, that obviously, we've got forces in Afghanistan and Iraq. Can we really be taking on a third front? Others say, if this is going to be done right, the U.S. has to be in the lead. So which way do you look at it?
Well, I don't disagree with those who think the U.S. would do it better than anybody else, but I don't know that we have to do it that well. My personal opinion is that Britain and France, particularly France, who's the beneficiary of that Libyan crude oil that's is not getting shipped, and the folks in that vicinity should be the ones leading this issue. The Arab nations have got to stand with Britain and France. in order to make this thing work. It's a little concerning that the Arab world has begun to waffle on their support for the UN resolution in the no-fly zone in the face of some of the things that's been going on. So it should not be a U.S.-led deal. There are other countries who are capable of getting the job done to a level that it needs to, maybe not to the quality and the precision that the U.S. would do it, but at a quality and precision that's appropriate for Libya.
We're talking with Texas Republican Congressman Mike Conaway. And Congressman, I alluded to in the beginning the debate that happened on the House floor last week about some Democrats, as well as Republicans, though, looking to accelerate the withdrawal of U.S. troops from Afghanistan. In the end, it was a lopsided vote against that, 321 to 93. You are among the 321. What do you make of the push by some to accelerate this, even ahead of the timetable beginning in July, which the president articulated a little over a year ago?
Well, it's wrongheaded. I understand why Representative Kucinich and others wanted to bring this forward, and they certainly got a right to do it. And they would argue they probably have an obligation to do it, to have this this conversation. But we had just come off 2 days of testimony from General Petraeus, one on Monday, one at the Senate, one at the House, laying out for us the things that are going on, his perspective of what's happening, his perspective of what he thought those next steps would be, and of the people on the face of the earth who know the most about what's actually happening in Afghanistan, David Petraeus is that guy. And I trust General Petraeus to use his best professional military judgment to tell us whether or not he thinks we can be successful. At this point in time, he believes we can be successful. And for an armchair quarterback in Ohio to decide that he's flat-out wrong is, I think, arrogant, presumptuous. So I voted against it. I spoke against it on the floor. And this is, you just couldn't do what the resolution implied doing it in a responsible manner. That said, all of us want our troops out of Afghanistan. All of us want our troops out of Iraq. I mean, that goes without saying. But we have to do it the right way, and we have to get it right to honor the work that's been done so far, to honor the sacrifice and the commitment that's been done so far, that we don't just quit because it's hard, that we go ahead and get this done and done right.
Between Libya and the Japanese calamity and some other things going on here in Washington, the general's testimony probably didn't get as much attention from the national media as it should have. What do you see as the headline coming out of those hearings last week from his testimony?
Well, that he gave a very poignant story in which describing one of his darkest days when he was commanding the 101st in Iraq, and he had a couple of Black Hawk helicopters have a mid-air collision, and 17 of our youngest and finest were killed, and it was just an awful day. And as he was finishing the day, headed somewhere, a young PFC came up to him, which is pretty amazing that a young PFC would do this, but a PFC came up to him, put his arm around his shoulder and said, "General, I know of 17 reasons why we have to get this right. We've got almost 1,500 young men and women have died in Afghanistan, thousands of grievous lifetime injuries, and all of those call us to do this and get it right. We all want our kids out of there sooner rather than later, but we have to do that in a responsible way that allows the Afghan people to take charge of their country, to run it, provide for their own security on a long-term basis, and that's been the goal all along, and that has changed. So I think the headline for Petraeus will be that he still believes in what we're doing, still believes we can be successful, and that we need to get this done correctly.
Congressman, unfortunately, our time is up, sir. It's always a great pleasure to have you with us. Thanks for your time.
Greg, thanks, buddy. Appreciate that.
Absolutely. Texas Republican Congressman Mike Conaway represents his state's 11th Congressional District. Member of the House Armed Services Committee, I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.